precious fountain that saves from sin. I am so glad I am in. Oh, are you glad for that? That Jesus saves and he keeps me clean. Yes, glory to his name. Oh, glory to his wonderful name. Glory to his wonderful name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Oh, glory to his name. Let's all stand. Fountain so rich and sweet, and cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Oh, glory to his name. Oh, glory to his wonderful name. Glory to
heart in the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood being applied. Amen. That's our security. Just turn to one another and just greet them in the house of the Lord. And let's just sing that chorus, "Create in me a clean heart." Amen. Good to see everyone here. Just come in the presence of God and just come expecting. But we want to have a clean heart before God. Amen. So let's just sing this as our prayer this morning before we begin the service.
Create in me a clean heart.
Yeah.
joy of thy salvation, and renew the right spirit within me. Cast me not away.
Together to worship.
That's right.
I thought right. Wednesday night service, when he was talking about what house will you build me, where do you fit in that place that he built? Because when Jesus calls us, there's going to be no more putting together. If we're not ready to go up and be placed for that place, that temple, we're not going to fit. We're going to be left here to struggle through torment. Amen. We're going to read this morning from Psalm 105, verses 1 through 15. Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful and thankful that we have in our hearts, Father, a desire, Lord, to receive your holy word. Father, we have a desire to be placed where you would have us to be. God, and guide and lead us each and every day. Lord, let us learn to always to love one another. Lord, love the enemy. Father, we think about when we see people that's struggling. Lord, mostly, Lord, it's because we turn loose from the Lord Jesus Christ. Even the pain that we go through daily, Lord, you have promised us, Lord, that we have a place. God, and we desire that we walk in that way. Lord, we ask you to bless every heart, Lord, to bless every word, bless the minister that will minister to us this morning. Father, let us find our place and what he bring forth unto us. God, and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We're going to read Psalm, let's say, 105, verses 1 through 15. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people.
Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works.
Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord.
Seek the Lord in the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore.
Remember his marvelous works, that he has done his wonders and the judgment of his mouth.
O ye seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen.
He is the Lord our God, his judgments are in all the earth.
He hath remembered his covenant forever, the word which he commanded to a thousand generations.
His covenant made with Abraham, and his oath unto Isaac.
And confirm the same unto Jacob for a law, and to Israel for an everlasting covenant.
Saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance.
When they were a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it.
When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another people.
He suffered no man to do them wrong, yea, he reproved kings for their sakes,
saying, touch not my anointing, and do my prophets no harm. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated.
Such a secure feeling to know we serve a living God that doesn't forget his covenants and his promise and his word. Amen. Brother Wade, since you're out here and you're willing, can you just come up here and take the offering for us this morning? It's been a while since you've done there, so amen.
Lord, what a wonderful day you've given us.
Yes.
I pray that you
yes.
can see us now during the service.
Yeah.
Thank you for your presence already, Lord. May the presence
yes.
of the Lord be on our Brother William. Lord, speak the words of eternal life. Just, Lord, give us this day with bread, Lord. Be with the tithing and offerings. We pray that you bless each one in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's sing that song, Oh, I Want to See Him. It's our heart's desire to see him every day and just Amen. Walk in his light of his countenance. Amen. You want to see him this morning? That's the way we look for him.
As I journey through the land, singing as I go, pointing souls to Calvary, to the crimson flow. Many arrows pierce my soul from without within. Oh, but my Lord leads me on, through him I must win. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, oh, to see forever. Saving grace on the the knot. But I'll cling more close to him, oh, he will give me light. Satan's snares may vex my soul, turn my thoughts aside. Oh, but my Lord goes ahead, leads me. Are you happy for that? Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, there will lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When in valleys low I look towards the mountain high, and behold my Savior there, leading in the fight. With a tender hand outstretched for the valley low, guiding me, oh, I can see as I onward go. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to rejoice. When before the billows rise from the mighty deep, then my Lord directs my bark, he does safely keep. And he leads me gently through this world below. He's a real friend to me. Oh, can you testify for that? Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all pass, home at last, ever to sing it once more. Oh, I want to see him, look upon his face, there to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice.
Oh, we just thank the Lord for that. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song, God is So Good, if we could all stand. And we'll call our brother William out. God is so good. Even in the good times and bad things, all things work out for our benefit. Because he's a good God. Amen. God is so good. Oh, God is so good.
To God. Isn't God so good to us? Amen. I was just sitting there in the office and just when they were singing the praises of the Lord, the presence of God just drops down. You know, the Bible teaches us that he inhabits the praises of his people. If you want the glory of God to drop, if you want the presence of God to drop in our churches and in our homes and in our marriages, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord in the good times, in the bad times. When you feel like praising him, praise the Lord. When you don't feel like praising him, and sometimes your body don't feel like praising him, but you praise him anyhow. because that brings the glory of the Lord. You see the order. We see the orders of the scripture, and there's always praise before battle. There's always praise and thanksgiving to the Lord.
Amen.
It's certainly good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We'd like to greet you all. Thank you, Brother Wade, for having us, inviting us up, and Brother Samuel, and all the ministry team here. Y'all have a wonderful team that keeps things going and keeps this portion of God's bride on the straight and narrow. Amen. We're living in such dark and tricky times, and it's such a blessing to have a good church, a good solid church to back you up. And we appreciate y'all so much, and we bring you greetings from our church in Virginia, Brother Ron, Brother Andrew. They send their love and their greetings and from the church, and he certainly appreciates all y'all's prayers. And as you all know, he's in a battle, but God promised to be with us in the battle. You know, he didn't promise it'd only be good times. It'd only be a flowery bed of ease. He promised he'd never leave us or forsake us. But I tell you what, brothers and sisters, he's certainly taken, and many others, has taken every excuse to not come to church. When he stands there in his condition and he preaches, and even when he don't preach, he's still there pulling on the word, standing up with maybe splitting headaches. You never know. But he's at his post of duty. And your post of duty may not be behind a pulpit. Your post of duty is in the house of God. Amen. So we certainly appreciate and love each and every one of you. We'd like to thank my sister Monica for hosting Rebecca and myself and her husband. Oh, Brother Bob. Thank you, Brother Bob. He did a wonderful job this morning on Sunday school, didn't he? Amen. Appreciate, love them so much with all my heart, and appreciate them and my wife and my boys ended up having to stay home this time. We're expecting another baby due to arrive here in probably about 7-8 weeks right in there. So traveling is a bit difficult. So we hope to bring my better half next time along. And Brother Wade said, amen. There was no hesitation there. He said, amen, right there. So we certainly love y'all with all of our hearts. We won't keep y'all standing, but if you will, if you turn with me to Matthew, the 13th chapter, we'll begin reading with the 45th verse. Again, it's certainly an honor and a privilege to be in the house of the Lord this morning with believers of like precious faith. You believe the same message. You're expecting the same Lord Jesus. Amen. It's wonderful. The Bible says, Jesus speaking, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. If you'll also turn with me to Luke chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus also speaking, and whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that beholdeth it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath cannot be my disciple. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. The gracious, kind Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for this honor and a privilege to stand among, Lord Jesus, the redeemed, the very, Lord, attributes of the living God, Father, Lord, to be standing here. We just count it such a privilege, Lord. We thank you for your presence that's already here. We thank you for your presence that always vindicates the word. Father God, Lord, we just ask, Lord, that you just now be with us, come with us, forgive us of our sins, Lord. I just pray personally that you set me in a corner, Father, Lord, and just use my own vessel, Lord, that I give to you even now to speak the word to your people. Lord, I within my humanity have nothing to say, but Father, Lord, may your spirit say something that would help encourage, strengthen and touch and deliver your people. We love you, Lord, and we promise to give you all the praise, honor and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you in the presence of the Lord. This morning, with the help of the Lord, I'd like to give this sermon a title of Counting the Cost. You know, in our natural lives, it's we act with the world that we live in. with inflation constantly going up, and you know, every time we turn around, seems like groceries and gas and all the natural things of living, we have to be careful of our spending many times and watch our budgeting and our financing. And if something costs too much, we may have to wait till it goes on sale, or we look, you know, for that certain coupon that may help us to get just a little edge on things. And we have to do that just as long as we live in this life. But you know, there's also a spiritual application to cost. And as we look in the scriptures this morning, it's a lot different in the spiritual than it is in the natural.
Yeah.
Because in the natural, as I said, we try and save, we withhold things back, and maybe we delay some instant gratification, as it's called, in order to save up for this, that, or the other. Or college, or whatever stage you are in life. But in the spiritual sense, there's a spiritual application that we are always to go all in. There's no retreat. There's no going back. There's no waiting until we get this thing done, or maybe situated in our life, or maybe after I get married, that will be the answer. Then I'll surrender my heart to the Lord Jesus. Or maybe after I get this job, or maybe when I graduate, I'm going to withhold something. I'm going to save maybe my soul, or I'm going to save making a full surrender until after this or this may happen. And the spiritual, because the natural will be done away. The money system will be done away with, thank God. We won't have money in heaven. There won't be no spending. There'll be no saving. There'll be no bounce checks. Praise the Lord. You know, and spiritually speaking, when we go all in, we now have the entire bank of heaven, as it were, that is behind us. And the prophet teaches us that when we become born again, God gives you a checkbook. And in this checkbook, all of heaven stands behind this word. So whenever you write a check and you write your request, Brother Bob, it is a promise and a guarantee that that check will be cashed. People in today's society act like they have that in the natural, but we find out it ends up catching up to them. The government thinks they have that, and they just print more money and they just go. But you know, this kingdom, as I said, is going to an end. But in the spiritual, we have a checkbook with unlimited resources. We have a checkbook with unlimited finances. Whatever you desire, as long as it's in the word, and if your heart, because see, the checkbook doesn't come till after you're born again. Because before you're born again, you can ask amiss. And Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. And you ask amiss. You just ask for this or that. And it doesn't, there's no spiritual application. There's no real spiritual backdrop to why you want what you want. You see, when a person becomes born again, and let's just say they're single, they become born again, they then begin to have the right reasons to want to get married. They begin to look for the right things in a mate. But before that, they may look at the wrong things. And we know there's an end to that. So there's a spiritual application of going all in. And many times you must count the cost of something. And many times things can cost you dearly. Both naturally, but this morning, I'm not teaching finances. This is teaching you spiritual things. Things can cost you very dearly spiritually. Both a good decision and a wrong decision, but you've got to count the cost. Before you make a decision, you've got to count the cost. Is this decision, is this group of friends going to draw me closer to the Lord, or are they going to take me away from the Lord? Am I going to be able to go to church with my friends, or am I going to go do something else while church is going on with my friends? And to that decision, there is a cost to pay. And you can either reap the benefits or reap the wrong thing. But you've got to count the cost to your actions. We see in the scripture that when Abraham, Brother Bob was teaching there on Abraham, when after the promise was fulfilled and they had more children and things, or Abraham did, and when in the process of time came and Sarah died, there came a time where Sarah needed, Abraham needed a burial place for Sarah. Now we know in the Old Testament that the burial place was very important. Abraham knew because he sought a king or he sought a city whose king and maker and builder was God, he knew that it was very important on where to bury Sarah in the promised land. So you can read in the scriptures, and we're going to just skip over it this morning for the sake of time. But there in Genesis 23, he begins to look for a burial ground, and he approaches these people for the burial ground. And he tells them why he needs it. And they want it. They want to give it to Abraham. They want to give this parcel of land, saying, look, you bury your dead there. You take them there. Lay them at rest. It'll be yours. Don't worry about it. But you can see in the scripture that Abraham actually refused it for free. Now, in our natural selves, the idea of something, especially like land, if somebody knocked on your door and offered you a parcel of land for free, any person would jump at it, sure. But there's a spiritual application that Abraham wanted to make sure that throughout all generations that no one could come back and reclaim that land. He wanted to pay for it. He said, no. I'm not going to take it for free. I'm going to pay. And not only am I going to pay, I'm going to pay top dollar for it. I'm going to pay what it's worth and more than it's worth, just so that it did not, money did not matter to him. Now understand spiritual application here. So there's a spiritual application that Abraham refuses the land for free. It's got to cost him something. If something does not cost you something, then you'll take it for granted. You won't appreciate it. And that's what's wrong with the generation that we live in, is that things are given to them. The more something is given to a person, to humanity in general, the less they appreciate it. When someone is, as the saying goes, born with a silver spoon in their mouth, they don't appreciate the hard work it took to get there. But I can appreciate, naturally speaking, we can appreciate a man or a woman that's successful that actually worked for it. So there's a spiritual application to counting the cost. Whenever Ruth came back into the homeland with Naomi, Boaz had to count the cost. What would it cost him to redeem Ruth? Because we know that there was a nearer kinsman than Boaz. But when he counted the cost, he said, no, I'm going to mar my own inheritance. But Boaz knew what he was doing. He went into the redemption with his eyes wide open. He put his entire wealth, his influence, his name, he put it all on the line for Amen. Ruth. If he redeemed Ruth, everything Boaz was now going to be attributed to Ruth. Now everything Ruth was a Moabiter, she was this, that culture does this, they're an enemy to Israel, all this. But Boaz counted the cost, and Ruth was worth it to him.
Amen.
You see the spiritual application there. Because we and ourselves were no good. But everything God was, his entire reputation in heaven. He attached his name to yours. So when he attached his name to yours, you now have his authority.
Amen.
Jesus didn't get cheap with redemption. Now remember, understand as we go along, I don't know that the situation, and everyone's got their own personality, if they're spinners or if they're not, this is not what this is about. This isn't to justify, you know, you go out the door and say, babe, the preacher said, we got to give it all. Yeah. I want that Mercedes. He said, give it all.
Yeah.
No. So understand, this is spiritual. Jesus counted the cost. In the Old Testament, we find that David actually sinned. There came a time where David began to desire a census of the people. So he began to number the people, and he wanted to find out how many soldiers he had, and God, and that really displeased the Lord. And Joab tried to talk him out of it, but he went anyway, and he numbered them. And then he realized that he had actually done wrong, and the prophet, I believe it was Gad, came to him and said, God has given you three options of punishment for this sin. He said, you can either have 3 years of famine, 3 years of or 3 months of defeat before your enemies, or 3 days of pestilence. You decide. Well, David did the right thing. He just he was repentant and he threw himself at the mercy of the Lord. He said, I'm not going to choose. I'm gonna be at the mercy of the Lord because I've already made the wrong decision once. I can do it again. So as God ended up choosing that there would be the 3 days of pestilence, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. In 1 Chronicles 21:14, so the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men, and God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyeth, it is enough. Stay now thy hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan, the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between earth and heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Imagine seeing that. Imagine seeing the judgment angel and 70,000 men, and you are responsible for 70,000 deaths because you made a mistake. See, David didn't count the cost of his actions before doing that. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed with sackcloth, and sackcloth fell upon their faces. And then further down, and David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord, be on me and on my father's house, and not on thy people, that they should be plagued. And the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David that David should go up and set an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite. So David did as the angel of the Lord instructed. And when Ornan seen David coming down, David wanted that. In verse 22, then David said to Ornan, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it to me for full price, that the plague may be stayed from the people. Now listen to Ornan. And Ornan said unto David, take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give it thee. I'll give you the oxen for the burnt offerings, the threshing floor instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I'll give it to you. I'll give it all to you. You're the king. You're God's anointed. You're God's blessed. I'll give it to you. So because that's what God called you to do. And listen to what, look at what David says. And King David said to Ornan, nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price. For I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor burnt offerings without a cost. David knew it had to cost him something. It can't just get a mistake and it not cost something. It had to cost David something. He had to feel the pain of his repentance. Repentance without regret for our sins is not true repentance. It's also what's called a dried-eyed confession. You really, people feel sorry or feel bad that they got caught, but they don't feel sad or really repentant in their heart for what they actually did. That's the difference. It's got to then cost you something. It may cost you some friends. True repentance toward God is going to cost you to change how you live. It may drawing closer to the Lord is, how do we draw closer to the Lord? It's by read our Bible and pray. It's going to cost us a little more time on our knees. It's going to cost us a little more time reading the Bible, even, dare I say, when you don't feel like it. Preachers don't always feel like studying. That may be a newsflash. Is that right, my brothers? Preachers don't always feel like praying. Preachers don't always feel like preaching. But it's not us. It's not up to how we feel. But there's a cost to it. But the reward will always way outweigh the cost. So David wanted to pay. He would refuse it for free. Just like Abraham. Do you see that strain? They refuse things for free. Because there's a spiritual application to paying all, giving it all. You don't hold back. When we serve God with all of our hearts, with everything that we have. If we don't serve God with all of our hearts, then we're not fully surrendered. So we come to the greatest example, Jesus Christ, the Son of David. He countered that cost of redemption. Before the foundation of the world, he already counted it. He already knew what it would cost him, and he already took care of it in his mind. It was a finished work. But in time, he had then, as his attributes and the different attributes within him of love and Father and Savior and Healer, it then took time to draw that, to bring that down from him to humanity. But he's always had that.
Yeah.
In 1 Peter 1:18, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things.
Amen.
In the Old Testament, when a brother had to sell out because he had hit hard times and he had to actually sell his inheritance to his brother in Israel, you know, and then every 50 years a jubilee trumpet would sound. If there was a near kinsman that could actually redeem him, the cost of redemption was many times with silver. That's why Peter brings this up. We have Jeremiah even redeem his cousin there with silver. It's a type of redemption. But then when Peter comes, he said, for as much you know, they were still in their Old Testament frame of mind that they had to be bought. And he said that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of your from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ.
Amen.
As with a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Amen.
He was priceless. That blood was priceless, but your soul was priceless. Your soul was priceless. You know, you sometimes see or you hear, you know, sometimes you just see a picture of the picture. Whenever you hear of art, you know, and I know that the Vatican and different places in the world has them. And they literally cost so much money, Brother Bob. They're literally priceless. They're so valuable, you cannot even put a price tag on it. No matter how much money somebody may have and say, I want that. You can't. You don't have enough money. I've got so-and-so. So. It don't matter. It's not enough. It's priceless. You're the bride of Jesus Christ is priceless. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that could afford to actually redeem your souls. It was the blood is the only thing that could pay the price of redemption. Now, it couldn't be any man's blood. You know, sometimes you love your family so much, you would gladly give your blood. You'd gladly give your life to protect them. And even if you were to try and pay and someone committed a crime and they'd actually have to pay for it, which happened repeatedly in history and does to this day, they pay for their sins with their own life. That's still not enough because once you've paid for your sins and you were killed, well, you're dead. What purpose is that? But you needed a higher life that could come and die for you, yet raise you up, yet he himself be raised up. It took a higher life, a higher blood to do the work. So remember, when God created things and as he started from the little and worked his way all the way up to the top, God has his own, Brother Bram said, his own evolution, as it were. When he created an oak tree, it always was an oak tree, but the intelligence worked its way up. He started with the low lifes. And he worked his way up and he capped it off with man. That was like the capstone of his creation. So when man fell, that's why you get bit by fire ants. Because the fire ant, we get stung by bees and we get poison ivy and stickers and all these things. Is because all that creation was under man. So that nature fell. So the only thing that could redeem us is something that was higher than us. So the only thing higher than us is God. So it took God to become flesh to pay the full price for your redemption. Imagine if he only came, what good would it have done, brothers and sisters, if he would have only come and paid for your natural healing? You get healed, you get sick again. You get healed and eventually death will take you and that's the end of it. It's not enough. That would have been a partial payment. But he paid full price for you. Because remember, whenever Adam and Eve sold us out and we ended up in the devil's pawn shop, he didn't come try and get a discount. He didn't come and try and just steal you out of the devil's pawn shop. He paid for you. He could walk out with you and you could walk out with him in broad daylight through the doors as it was. He paid full price for you. That should make us feel real good. That God himself was not looking at you as a discount. He wasn't waiting until you were just the right price. He wasn't waiting until maybe, you know what? I can get discounted redemption and send an angel. I can get discounted redemption and send some second person of the Trinity. He came himself. The fullness of the Godhead bodily paid the full price for you and for me because he counted the cost. And because you are worth it. You know, the world is in the spirit of confusion and people's rights, and everybody, Sister Monica, is all trying to find their worth, who they are, and what they identify as, and all kinds of nonsense. But your soul is worth 10,000 worlds. Your soul is worth something. Your soul was worth the blood of God. He paid full price for you. And we're proud to say it. We're proud to identify it. When he paid full price for you. In Matthew 26, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then cometh Jesus into the place called Gethsemane and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I pray and go yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Amen. What was Jesus doing in the garden? He was counting the cost. Amen. Was he willing to go all the way? He'd heal the sick. He'd cleanse the leper. He'd cast out devils. He'd preach the truth. He's delivered. He's blessed people. But is he willing to go all the way? Because the sick that he healed 2,000 years ago, what good does that do you and me today? If he didn't go all the way. If he didn't pay the full price, what good would that do us? So he comes to his disciples and he finds them asleep. And we'll go down to verse 42. And he went again the second time saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Amen. Aren't you so thankful that we have a God that's so submissive to his own word. Amen. So submissive to his own word that even in the Garden of Eden, when he said that day you eat, that day that you'll die. How it broke his heart to be submitted to his own word. But he had to make him God. He had to so that we can have that checkbook. He had to submit himself to his own word so we can trust him. So you can trust him, Brother Wade. So you can trust him for your healing. So you can trust him for your salvation. He had to be to serve a God that would be submissive to his own law. That don't do like the politicians today that change it to serve their end. But to actually set it, not be able to change it, and then step into humanity and become penalty to his own word. And to pay the full price. Brother Bram's speaking. He said, he's talking about Jesus. Aren't you thankful for a prophet that can see things unfold with the eyes of an eagle and God and go all the way down and actually dramatize something for you that just kind of paints such a beautiful picture? He said, let's just think. I can see Gabriel come down, his great sword standing by his side. I can see Woodworm. I can see the other great angels lighting on the rocks around. What was it? A conference table being set. The disciples might have been asleep, but Jesus wasn't alone. Then that Holy Spirit of God, as we see on the picture of Gethsemane, that light, which God is light, Elohim, the self-existing one. When he came into his presence, do you want to go through with this, son? What? The angels are listening. Because if Jesus would have come to this point and said, Father, actually, the transfer of sins begin to unfold and release onto him. Even though I wasn't born yet and you weren't born yet our sins were still transferred to him at that time. Every sin that happened before him and every sin that ever will happen after was transferred onto him. So if he would have come up to the Garden of Gethsemane and then backed off, Sister Kaylee, then that would have ruined the whole plan of redemption. So all of heaven is no doubt listening. Are you going to go through with this? You're at this junction. You're beginning to feel the anguish, Brother Luis, of the sins of the world upon you. But are you going to go through with it? What are you going to do? What's going to be the result? The whole world lays upon your shoulder. Do you want to pay the price? Or what do you want to do? It came down. Jesus was at a junction. He had to decide what was he going to do. Was he going to pay the full price for you? You can come right on now without death. There lays Calvary before you. There they'll spit in your face. And they'll take you to Calvary. All these things. You'll die in agony. Jesus knew what kind of death he would die. He knew what laid before him. But he also knew what laid before him. He looked through, the eyes of love and mercy and through the eyes of the blood. And he was able to see you at this end time. Having the ability, not within yourself, but having the ability given to you by him through the new birth, despite all the evil in just the past few years. How much more evil has this world gotten? How much more evil will this world get? It does not matter to the born again believer because they're still standing. They're not going to just drag it to heaven and crawl in like you're just at the end of a boot camp and just barely made it and just, oh, hanging on to somebody's heels. You're going to march into glory. When the prophets seen the bride in the vision, they were not just slouched. They were not just worn out. They were not just all confused. They were all in a line and they were going in one direction and they were going to the step of the word. And there at the end, at the very end of the end, which is where we live now, there was one that got out of step, and what the prophet heard himself holler to scream out, stay in line. I've heard this is just, if I can just, if you'll forgive me, I'll inject this here. I personally believe that's the fivefold ministry, preaching what the prophet taught, keeping that word in line. And as we listen to the tapes, we continue to be told to stay in line. We're preaching the same. Brother Ram can go past the curtain of time and say, I preach what Paul preached. He can say that confidently. And I believe true men of God can stand confidently in this age before God himself and say, I preach what William Branham preached. It's the same message. It's the same truth. So he paid the full price. Jesus was aware of what it was going to cost him. He says, let's see what the conference, what's the echo going to be? All angels are standing around wondering what takes place now. The decision's made. What is it? Not my will, but thine be done. Oh, the angels unfolded their blessings and began to minister to him, preparing him for that great hour. Bride, you have been prepared for this hour. You have been prepared and ordained to walk in this evil age. You think of how mad it must make the enemy that here he's got his evil age. He's the god of this evil age. He's got Satan's Eden and he's setting it up and it's all going so well. But yet there's a small group of people that's scattered all over the world that no matter what I throw at them, no matter what kind of influences, no matter what kind of filth that I spew out in the age, yet they still believe God. Yet in the age of greatest unbelief, yet in the age when nobody even knows what to believe, yet they stand there and they keep believing for the body change. Every Wednesday night and every Sunday and every weekend, they keep preaching that their body is going to change. Now, to the carnal mind and to a heart of unbelief, that can sound impossible. And naturally speaking, it is. Because you can't explain it. But to the spiritual mind, it's a whole nother level. You know, you think 500 years ago, if you walked into church this morning and you seen an airplane go overhead, it didn't bother you. So there's an airplane. 500 years ago, what if an airplane would have flown overhead? They would have all jumped in caves. They would have been terrified. But it's nothing to you. You're used to it. A car go down the road. There goes one now. I didn't see any of you jump up and run out and terrified. But, you know, several hundred years ago, if they would have seen that, they would have been scared to death. So what it used to be so hard to imagine is now everyday life to us. We all came to church in a vehicle. So what now can be so hard to imagine for the unbeliever of the body change and angels and the things of God, it can be so hard to imagine. One day that's going to become our reality. Now spiritually that's our reality now, but then it will become a literal reality where our bodies will literally be changed. And I'll say this, God doesn't get cheap. God, maybe we'll get to it, but you think of the New Jerusalem. You read about the New Jerusalem and the city you're going to. God doesn't get cheap. Oh, buddy, it's going to be beautiful. And God don't get cheap with your mansion.
Amen.
You're going to be perfect.
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to look good. You're going to look good. 18 years old, you're going to look good.
Amen.
Why? Because God doesn't get cheap.
Amen.
You're going to look perfect.
Amen.
We don't have to then worry about, you know, keto and THM and carbs. And it's going to be perfect.
Thank you,
Lord. Yes. It's going to be awesome because God doesn't get cheap.
Amen.
Now, remember, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns it all. But you can see the love of God in his mind. He made sure that you have the best.
Amen.
And while we're speaking of the best, I'll say this. The message produces the best. The message produces your best marriages. The message produces our best young people. The message produces our best elderly people. The message produces the best ministers, the best song leaders, the best everything. The message produces the best. So if Jesus was only born of a virgin, he did all the miracles, and then he was just translated to heaven, that would not have been good enough. Even with all the miracles, even with born of a virgin, that would not have been good enough because he would have bypassed the cross. He would not have paid the full price. It was not enough for him to just be born of a virgin and being in a body of flesh like we are and to groan of a headache and lose a best friend and all them things that he partook of. So he'll understand he had to go all the way to the cross and a step further than that. But we'll probably get to that a little later. But he had to go all the way to the cross to pay the full price. Now, we know that Satan, when he tempted Jesus in the mountain there, he offered Jesus the kingdoms of the world without paying the full price. He offered Jesus the easy way. Now, remember, that was a temptation for Jesus. Satan only had 3 shots at Jesus. You better believe that he made every single one of them count. He had 3 strikes. He had 3 shots to get at Jesus. And one of them was to try and get him to get the kingdoms of the world without paying for them. Because remember, he didn't just have to come to redeem you. He had to also come and redeem the earth. So the blood saved us, but the blood also dripped down and sanctified the earth because we're going to come back here and live. Remember, God is awesome. He is an awesome architect. And I believe that he's got, you know, volcanoes underneath just right. And at the right time, they'll drop the right bomb in the wrong place or maybe the right place. And it's going, the whole thing's going to blow. And then God's going to recreate it and make it perfect. Make it perfect. He's going to do it right. My goodness. It's going to be perfect. You know, when Jesus went to the cross and Satan was speaking through them priests, if thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. You think of the temptation of Jesus. He was tempted constantly. He was. So see, it's not wrong to be tempted. It's wrong to actually heed temptation, to fall into it. So Jesus was tempted all the way. He was literally hanging on the cross and still being tempted to come down. But even though they nailed him to a cross, even though his face was bleeding, he was just pulverized, naturally speaking. He had the sins on the world, yet he was not dead yet. So yet, if he would have even come off at that point, that wouldn't have been enough. He had to say, it is finished. That's what he had to say. Because then when he's finished, then the price, the full price, Brother Aaron, of redemption was paid. You could go free. You can go free. You are bought and paid for. To be beaten and mocked was not enough for my sins. To be nailed to a cross was not enough for my sins. He had to die. The life had to go out of his body to pay the price. As that famous poem says, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever. Someday he's coming, oh glory his day. Because remember, the prophet teaches us that that's what I meant by a step further. If he would have came, died for our sins, saved us, and he would not have actually rose from the dead, then he could be questioned who he was. But whenever he rose, the prophet said that sealed the whole thing when he rose from the dead. That proved it. Now, you know, Satan probably was sitting around. Well, I know he was sitting around. He was speaking through them priests. He was busy that morning. that afternoon. But whenever he heard Jesus say, "It is finished," no doubt he thought, okay, whoever this man is, because I'm going to read some quotes here, but Brother Ram teaches us that Satan, he wasn't quite sure what to think of Jesus. He could see God in him. He could see him being defeated on every turn, constantly being cast out, his demons and things. But yet he could see the humanity of him, and it really confused the devil. So no doubt that whenever Jesus cried out, "It is finished," and he bowed his head and died, Satan thought, okay, whoever he was, he's gone. I killed him just like I did the prophets. I killed Isaiah, and I got Job, and I got Moses, and I got this one. Whoever he is, he's did the most damage to my kingdom than anyone else so far. But whoever he is, he's gone. I've got no more to deal with. But what he didn't understand is that Jesus was just getting started. Where it looked like he came to an end, Jesus was just getting started. It was just about to get really good. You see, because Satan couldn't understand the virgin birth. Brother Branham says that when he met Jesus Christ, he said, "It is written," talking about Jesus, he said, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." See, but then he knew that he was more than a match then. He didn't understand the virgin birth. Satan didn't. But he couldn't understand that. But there was one, that was one time that God pulled it over on him then. Was when he had the virgin birth. Because Satan, all them rumors, they said that she actually, Mary got pregnant with a Roman soldier. And I don't know, there's just so much, there's humanity. But yet there's something different about him. I can't make him fall like I could Moses. I tempted him with temper, but I couldn't quite get him there. I tried to tempt him with lust, and I couldn't quite get him there like I did David. Or I tried this, that, or the other. So he knew there was something different about him, but I love how the prophet said that is one time that God was able to pull one over on him. You talk about humility. Satan is a shrewd fella. He had all those 4,000 years to study humanity, and God was still able. God still, he'll always outwit the devil. The Holy Ghost in you will outwit the old slew foot too. You can't outwit him. Within your flesh, brother, we cannot outsmart the devil. But the Holy Ghost will lead you and just confuse the enemy. Satan will set a trap for you here, and your old boy looks like you're just headed right toward it. It looks like there's just no other way out, and the Holy Ghost will just lead you right here, all around the trap. And the devil, how in the world did he not get in that trap? You would have. Because Satan knows you. He knows your weaknesses. He knows your DNA. He knows your family history. He knows your family history way better than you do. He's been watching them. He's been watching their weaknesses, and he knows what weaknesses that you have in your humanity. But the Holy Ghost in you will lead you right around. The footsteps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord. Brother Branham dramatized in here that whenever as Jesus was going up the cross, he still wondered. He wondered just what that was. Was that a prophet or was that really God? He didn't know. He didn't know then that God had to be made flesh and dwelt among us. One day a Roman soldier put a bandage around his face, took a reed and hit him on the head and said, "Now, if you be a prophet, if you be this prophet, tell us who hit you." Still, he couldn't answer because he had been minding the devil. Oh, the cross, they asked him. Let me just say this. You can be at work. You can be at school. And there could be a little tormentor that you have on the job. And they could be asking you, "Why do you have long hair? Why do you have a dread?" And you know that they're not really interested. They just want to just make fun of you. You don't have to answer them. You don't have, now, if they're interested, tell them of the hope that lies within you. Never be ashamed to witness. But when they're just one of them people on the job that you just have to commit to the Lord. You know, you don't have to explain everything to them. Jesus didn't clown for the devil. Just if you've got a gift in your life and you can sing beautifully, brothers or sisters, and they try and get you to sing some worldly song, you don't have to sing some worldly song for the devil. You don't have to clown for the devil. So going up the hill to Calvary, Satan still wasn't satisfied that that was God. Emmanuel, the virgin born Son of God. I would say one of Satan's biggest mistakes is letting Jesus get to the cross. You know, you think Satan was all about crucifying him. He'd anoint the priest. He'd anoint this person. He'd anoint that person. He anointed the Roman soldiers to do what they did to him and all these things. Because Satan was trying to get rid of Jesus. But in fact, his greatest mistake is letting Jesus go all the way to the cross. You see how he outsmarted the devil? Well, Satan could not wait to actually kill this Jesus. The very thing that Satan thought he actually won, it was his very defeat. Because if Jesus didn't go all the way, you couldn't have the Holy Ghost. You couldn't get the new birth. You couldn't be justified, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. We wouldn't have this message. So God really did pull one over on him in such humility. So after Jesus said it was finished, Satan found out in a very short order that he wasn't just a prophet. He found out very short when he heard a knock on hell. Remember whenever Brother Branham dramatizes that and he opens that door and he sees Jesus, I thought I killed you. I thought I had you and I had Job. I thought I had you and I got Moses. I thought I had you. But he found out real quick that he made a big mistake. Because not only did Jesus still show up, he dropped your sins and my sins right on the devil in hell where they belong. Okay, so now all of our sins, all your past and everything is now attributed to the devil, who's the father of all sin, who's the father of all lies. And you're perfect. So whenever Jesus, he proved that not only did he pay the full price, not only did he raise from the dead, but then he actually went and took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. He went there and he conquered hell for you. Hell still exists. Hell is a real place. But you don't have to go there. Because he paid the price of hell for you. He went there for you. He deposited your sins and my sins onto the enemy. And the devil is now responsible for your past sins. That's under the blood of Jesus. That's something to shout about. You're no longer responsible for it. What's under the blood and what's gone is now attributed to the devil. That makes me happy. That makes Satan mad, but that makes me happy. So everything that Jesus died for becomes your personal property. You didn't pay for it. He paid for it. But yet, it belongs to you. He paid the full price because we couldn't pay the price. We couldn't afford redemption. We couldn't afford the blessings of God. But he paid the full price. And because he's now our Boaz, he then gives it to his family. You don't have to pay for it anymore. It's already paid for. You see, David and Abraham and Boaz, they paid full price for things. But their families were then assured. Abraham's, the rest of his family was able to be buried in there at no cost because Abraham already paid full price for it. There was no question on what happens if all of a sudden somebody comes and tries to take it back. Abraham had the title deed to that piece of property that everyone that was buried there had a right to be buried there. And that is why that was in a geographical location. But we now bury saints in Christ Jesus, which is a spiritual, because we know that when he raises, or he rose from the dead, but we know at his coming, they're going to raise from the dead, because he holds the title deed to life. He holds the title deed to resurrection. He paid for it. So everything that's in here is yours. Like you hear, salvation is free. It is for you, but it wasn't free for him. He paid dearly for it. But see, you paid just like we, you know, we have to, as husbands and as fathers and mothers, you have to pay for things for your family. But when your children are living with you, they live there for free until they get to a certain age, right? But generally, and then people have their own ways, but generally I'm trying to say is that little children live there for free. Now, that house that you live in, Brother Bob, was not free. Unless you got a better deal than I did. It wasn't free. But yet, to Zoe and to Kaylee, they're not aware of the cost. They live there because their dad paid the price. Whether it was easy to pay the mortgage or hard to pay the mortgage, he paid the price. And so they enjoy the benefits. They enjoy the shelter. They enjoy things. You see, now that is just, we know, a natural comparison to spiritual things. All these things, you remember he talked about, if you tell me to make yourself at home. You go open the fridge. You go lay down on the couch. That's why he preached doors to the heart, is because Jesus, because some people try to just open just a little bitty door. And you can only go here. You know, you have it roped off. You sometimes go in these old houses or museums and they got private access, personnel only, you know, whatever. You can only go through certain areas. But whenever counting the cost, we want to make a full surrender. We don't just want him to be our savior. We want him to be our healer, our deliverer. We want him to be our guide. Now, many people in history have died slow and grueling deaths. But you know, one of the most grueling part about Jesus' death was your sins and my sins on him. Right, Jesus died of a broken heart. Because once he lived and he died, but when he resurrected, that enabled him to send the Holy Ghost back to you. That's how you know that he rose from the dead, is because you have the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Ghost, you really don't know. But whenever you meet him face to face in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you don't have to see him, it's called face to face as an expression, but you know it. And let me tell you something, young people, or you know, my brothers and sisters, whenever you really, really meet him, there's no denying that you met him. There's no denying to yourself, wherever you may be. You can be in your bedroom, you can be in church, and you can be praying. And when he comes by, there's literally no denying. You may not be able to see, but you know that he's there. And you know that God is having a conference with you, and you know that it's your time. Now, people, it's important that we take the opportunities that we have. Because many times that God is so willing, he's so willing and full of grace and compassion, and he'll come and he'll try and he'll come and reach out and call on people. But then you have got to make a full surrender and don't draw back. God is willing. So when you make a full surrender, you're certain that you met Jesus Christ in the power of his resurrection. And then once that life enters into you, then your brothers and sisters in your local assembly can then see the change as well. Because it's life. And don't get all confused and worried and get complex that you got to just become so spiritually mature overnight. It's a growth process. But at least you're born. Well, as soon, you know, as I mentioned our baby on the way, as soon as he's born, he's in the family. He gets the protection. He gets the love. He gets the shelter. He gets everything the other ones get. But he won't be able to do the responsible things that others do. But he's in the family. And then it's time to eat. And then it's time to grow. And as these different brothers get up and they preach the unadulterated word to you, you eat, you feast, and you grow. But you have to eat. You got to. But it's all based on love. It's all based on love. Because we know that Jesus was a type of that scapegoat in the Old Testament. When the priest would, they'd have two goats. One would go free, and they'd transfer the sins of the entire nation of Israel onto a goat and let him go in the wilderness. That's what he did for us. My goodness. You know, we can never praise him enough. You can never, never worship him enough. You can never say thank you enough. We'll never, on the other side, we will never quit worshiping him. It'll never just get, we've been here a couple million years, and Jesus saved us. Oh, no. The difference is you can get tired here. You get worn out, or you know, the life may just go out of you. Or you get over there, it just goes on and on and on and on. Because he's so worthy. And in his flesh and in his body, he leaves the memorials in his hands and in his side. Or when he's speaking or he's talking to you. And you know, you're going to get, think of this, you're going to get a personal audience with Jesus Christ. People of the world, they may line up to have an interview with the president or with this politician or with this earthly king, but you're going to get a one-on-one meeting with him. And you know, thank God there's no time. You don't have to be antsy. Oh, you know, I wish they'd hurry up. There won't be that. You'll be back there praising him. But when it's your time, you take all the time. Because he's done so much for us. He's done so much for us. That is why that blessed hymn says, when we've been there 10,000 years, it's as if we just begun. Because in his presence, there's fullness of joy. In his presence, if you have a difficult time expressing worship and thanksgiving, now everybody has got a different way of worshiping. Everyone has a different way of expressing their love. But if you have a difficult time telling the Lord, thank you, telling the Lord, I love you, and worshiping him from your heart, then you should check your experience. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I'm not saying that you should be running around the church every service, or that you should be speaking. I'm not trying to set it as any evidence, and I'm not trying to pump anybody up. I'm just making it as a statement. There can be, the Bible even says that they bowed their heads and they worshiped. You don't have to say a word, but you're worshiping God. The glory of God is falling on you in the service, baptizing you with the Holy Ghost. And no one else can be aware of it. Your neighbor's not aware of it. But yet the presence of God is falling on you because you are in an atmosphere of worship. Amen. You know, I was fellowshipping with Brother Bob, and I'm going to have to bring this here to a landing, maybe pick it up this afternoon. But when you think about worship, as the word is going forth and it's bouncing off of your souls or coming into you, not bouncing off, but as it's coming into you and you're analyzing and you hear the brother preach about predestination. You hear the brother preach about the love of God. You hear the brother preach about healing. You hear whatever it is, the word. You then begin to think back. He's preaching about healing. Man, I remember I used to be sick. The doctor said I was incurable. I used to have this condition. I used to have that condition. But I don't anymore. The brother's preaching about salvation. Man, I remember when I was an absolute punk. But now I'm not that way anymore. You know, maybe they're preaching about predestination. You think about your family history and how maybe you just came from, you know, the prophet himself kept being ashamed of the lineage he came from of bootleggers and the Branhams. He was ashamed of that. But yet, whenever he began to think and realize that he, in fact, and Brother Bob dealt with this a little bit this morning, but whenever he, in fact, wasn't the son of Charles and Ella Branham, once he realized that, that then gave him a new look on life. So, speaking back to worship, as the word goes forth and you realize and you think and there, salvation is being preached or predestination, man, I used to be, but God brought me through. Then the word should bring forth a worship. And whenever you're worshiping God, you're then saying, thank you, Lord. You know, he's preaching about predestination, and I come from such a lineage of, and we all did. I don't care if Queen Elizabeth is your great-grandmother or whatever, you know. You still come to, our lineage is no good. But there's no telling what's all far back and the sin and the debauchery. But yet, as the word begins to go forth about predestination, you begin to realize, God, I came from this. My grandparents were this way. My own parents are this way, or whatever it may be. And then it begins to give you a worship. Lord, I'm the only believer in my family. But then it begins to give you a worship as the word comes forth. You identify yourself with that word. That then becomes true worship. That, Lord, I used to be a scoundrel. But because as his brother is preaching, it begins to water the change that God has done in your life. I'm not that way anymore. So then it begins to bring forth a worship, and that kind of worship is very pleasing unto the Lord. It's not put on. It's not so-and-so sees you. It's not because the camera sees you or whatever it may be. It's because it comes from the heart, and you worship God as a way of thanksgiving. We all have something to worship God for. If just the fact that we're here breathing, just the fact that we're here living and that we're under this word is enough to praise him from now until forever. There's worship, and God looks for those, Jesus said, to worship him in spirit and in truth. This word is worth selling out to. This word is worth everything. Get rid of everything else that's of lesser value. And just attain this great pearl. We found this great pearl. You've heard about this pearl at this church alone for decades. Every Sunday and every Wednesday, that pearl is just shined. Look at this church. Look how beautiful this pearl is. Turn it this way. And then you know, Brother Wade gets up here and he shines it real good. And then one of the other brothers get up behind him on the next service and they turn that pearl a little bit more. They say, look at this. And it glistens and it all works together. It's a fivefold working together to bring about and to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. This pearl of great price. It's all the same word. And it magnifies and it just turns the diamond or maybe turns the pearl at a different angle. But that pearl of great price is so beautiful. Everything else is worth selling out for. And as we close this morning, if there's anything in our lives that would keep us from making a full committal, if we still have some doors that are locked, if we have some little no trespassing, or maybe we have some ribbon and we want Jesus in just this area of our lives, maybe we want him, you know, in our relationship, maybe we want him in our finances, maybe we want him here or there, but it's not fully open to where, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And if you see anything, if you like anything, if there's anything I can give you, if there's a talent that I have, If I can sing, if I can, and you don't have to just sing like you don't even have to have talent, just make a joyful noise to the Lord. But if there's something that you can use, Lord, take it. If you can take my hands and play an instrument, take it, Lord. You see it laying on the table. Maybe, you know, maybe if you see that my feet stay at home too much, and maybe, you know, I don't go to the house of God like I should, or maybe my feet stay home, or I don't pray enough. Take them and use it. Take my hands and use them for your kingdom. Maybe they're just laying around, but use them, Lord, if you see anything. Because remember, the prophet typed the queen or somebody coming and they seeing something that she wanted and how you would just give it to her. That is a very, very profound sermon. We want to give it all because he did. He paid the full price. The Brother Ram tells us that he would even bankrupt all of heaven. You think about that. He would bankrupt all of heaven to make sure that his word don't fall to the ground. So get that checkbook this morning. We all have things to write out for. We all have things to write out for, and he paid for it. It's free to us. The only thing that he requires is faith. It's like a receipt to prove. When you hand the check in, a lot of times you get a deposit slip to prove it's been deposited. And that's what you have to hold on to. So if you deposit $1,000 to cover the rent, $2,000 to cover your mortgage or whatever, you've got the proof that, okay, I just deposited my paycheck. So when I write a check for my mortgage, I can be confident that one will cover the other because they confirmed to me that the money is in the bank. Amen. So whenever you write out the check to the bank of heaven, you have your faith. You have the token to show that what you requested has been sent in to the bank of heaven and it will be honored. If you've got faith, there's no such thing as bounce checks in heaven. There's no such thing. He paid the full price so you could go free. Yes. Brother Ram tells us the story about that crow. I think it was Johnny Crow. I forget exactly what he called him. How he was free and that farmer tied him to that stake. And then one day he was let loose, but he still thought he was still tied. And that's what this world is full of, is poor souls that are in bondage. But there's been a way made, but they've got to come through that way. Amen. God bless you. Let's stand to our feet. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Father, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for your people here. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity, Lord, that we can have and share your word, Father, Lord, with people that believe and are hungry for the word of God. Lord, thank you most of all for you, Father, that has made that the reason that this church is even here, the reason that I'm even here, the reason that any of us are even here is because you went all the way. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all your blessings, Lord. We worship you. Father, we don't want to just worship you with our lips. We don't want to just worship you, Father, Lord, in other ways. But, Lord, we want to worship you that way, but we want to worship you with our whole lives. May our whole lives be worship unto you, Father. How we love you, how we appreciate you, Lord. We want to tell you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, how much we thank you, Father, Lord, that you pay the full price, that you went all the way, Lord. We can only imagine We can't fully understand, but we can imagine how difficult it must have been. But yet you submitted yourself to your own word and you went all the way. And for that, Father, we thank you. For that, we love you. For that, we surrender our lives to you unreservedly. And Father, Lord, if there's any of us here, Lord, that have had any door locked whatsoever, we unlock it now in the name of Jesus and unlock it. Because, Lord, we remember that painting when Jesus was knocking at the door, but it took the person on the inside. There was no latch. It took the person on the inside to open the door. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we unlock and open every door of our heart to you, that you'll come in. And if you see anything that maybe needs to be cleaned up, clean it, Father. If there's anything that you can take that from us that you can use for your glory and your kingdom, despite the discomfort of the flesh, we ask that you grant it, Lord. We love you with all of our hearts. We thank you again, Lord, for Brother Wade, Brother Sam, Lord Jesus, all the minister brothers here, Lord. We thank you for your people here, all the musicians, Lord, the song leaders. We ask your special blessings upon them. We ask you just also remember, Lord, Sister Olivia, Father, Lord, may all be well. We thank you, Lord, for your guiding hands and your protection, Lord, in that situation. We thank you, Lord, that the angels, your angels can be there to bear our children up and to bear us up when there's nothing we can do within ourselves. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Brother Wade. Appreciate you.
Let's give our brother a good hand.
Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
Good job. If you have a need, let's sing a song. Let's worship. Like you said, let's worship God. Amen. You came here to worship Him, didn't you? Amen. We come here to worship a man. We come here to worship the man. Amen. You know, you read the sign on the t-shirts that says, all gave some, but some gave all. We know that was man, but we know one man. One man gave all. All gave some. You know, the Old Testament, you had the prophets, and you had all the different ones that gave that, but they couldn't get that life back into me and you. There's only one man could get that life back into me and you and raise us up from the dead and let us sit in heavenly places and be that tabernacle that we've been talking about. We can be that living, breathing tabernacle. That's what God wants. The resurrection message was not to dead people. It was to live people. Live people got to hear that message. Amen? So let's sing a song. God bless you. If you have a need, let's worship Him just for a few minutes.
Here, hallelujah.
You believe He's here today? He's been here this whole service. Somebody has a need, don't walk out of this place without being prayed for. Face to face. We're going to be able to talk to Him face to face. But why not now through faith that we can talk to Him and He can touch you here in this dimension? By faith, we know that He's right here. He's inside of you and the angels are standing around waiting on somebody to say, hey, I need something.
Listen closely.
Listen.
You can touch him. You will never be the same. He is here. Hallelujah. He is here. Amen. He is here. Holy, holy, I will bless his name.
Give the Lord a good hand clap of praise. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord today. Good to have each and every one of you here. Sister Rebecca, the Lord, she's young, grown up. Good grief, my goodness. And Brother William, we've known him for a while, and man, he's just matured and had to move to Virginia, but, you know, whatever. Some people can make mistakes, but no, he didn't. Brother Ron enjoys him being up there. I know, and Brother Andrew also said, it's a beautiful place up there, and we're good to have him with us. And we're going to have him back, Lord willing, in March, and he's going to bring the new baby, so he'll bring the whole family. We'd already got that planned and lined up. Boy, when them Borlivans come, though, boy, you got to buy a castle or rent a house to get them all in. But that's okay. Somebody's got to repopulate the world. So before we go, when we do dismiss, let's say a special prayer for Sister Olivia. We don't know. Have you heard any?
They're doing a CT scan.
They're doing a CT scan now. Is her head hurting or something? Or is it... Man, if you see the picture, I mean, she flipped the car over. The car was upside down when they got her out. It had to be because that's the way it was laying in the picture. Flipped three times. So it's just the grace of God.
Amen.
And it also may be a wake-up call. Amen. For all of us. I mean, sometimes we come kicking and screaming. Sometimes we come glad, but at least we come.
Right.
Some through the water.
Right.
Some through the flood.
Amen.
Some through great trials. But everybody's got to come through the blood.
Amen.
Amen. You've got to either deny it or accept it, one of the two. So let's accept it now.
Amen.
And not have to deny it and then try to do something over there. Let's get it right here. So let's pray for Sister Olivia and the family also and the car and everything. And I don't know if I would assume it totaled it. So let's just pray that all that will work out well. And then we'll be dismissed and we'll come back at 2 o'clock. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for Sister Olivia, Lord, that we know for a fact you were there with her. Your guardian angels was there with her because of the severity of the accident. She could have been thrown out and worse things could have happened. And Lord, we're put on this earth for a purpose, and I believe our sister's here for a purpose too. To come to you, Father. And Lord, we've all been wayward children. We've all had our conversation, as Paul said, in times past in the lust of the flesh. We've done things wrong, Lord, but Father, you come down in the still of the night and said, come home, child. Stop running. Stop trying to run away from me because you're mine. Lord, I pray that you call her name and that she'll realize that it's you trying to get to her. In the hardness of our hearts, we've all been there, but Lord, you soften it up so that we'll accept you, Father. And I pray, Lord, that now in the physical realm that you'll protect her, Lord, there'll be no broken bones, nothing in the brain, that there'll be nothing. It's just a miracle that something that she didn't get scratches and bruises and have to go to the hospital. But now, Lord, I pray that the technicians are going to do what they can do. The doctors are going to do what the book says they can do. But we've got a book that's greater. And we've got a physician that's not practicing. He is the great healer. And that's you, Lord. And we have a Bible that tells us, by your stripes, Lord, we're already healed. As Brother William said, you didn't just die at Calvary. You were torn apart. You were beaten to a pulp. that you'd take and bear every stripe that we took, Lord, by every infirmity that we have, Lord, every broken bone, everything, what people battling with different diseases, with cancer and all different things, you took every bit of that, Lord, and you pulled it into your bosom and said, it is finished. Lord, we just got to look to Calvary and see that, Lord. Have faith, Lord, that that will be our healing for today and continue on. Same thing for Sister Olivia, Lord, that you'll bless her. Bless her, Lord, and maybe she has to look for another car. I pray that you'd be with her in that decision, Lord. Be with the family, Lord, Sister Rachel, Brother Joe, and the different ones. Lord, I pray that you'd just be with them, Father, as a family, that everything will work out for your honor and glory. Lord, we pray that you'd be with Brother William, Lord, give him strength for this afternoon. Lord, what a wonderful sermon today, Lord, that you did give all. And we pray, Lord, that you'll continue, Lord, to be with us and forgive us of our faults and failures, Lord, until we come back together at 2 o'clock. We pray that you'd bless the people in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Oh, you touch me and make me whole. Oh, yes, he touched me.